We are back. And I promise you in this segment, I'm not going to talk about what we're going to tell you about in the future. We're only going to deal with some humorous items, I think, to close this out on a lighter note. Our old friend Dave Barry took a look back at the highlights of the year 2002. We're happy to report that out of Dave Barry's own lips, we have permission to read his columns for this program. Yes, I'm not making this up. Dave Barry spoke in Santa Rosa last September, and for this program, we trotted over, and we got a chance to meet him. Anybody who paid X amount of dollars got a chance to have lunch with Dave Barry. Well, in theory, Dave Barry made the rounds of all the tables and said hello. And something he writes about in his columns very humorously, meeting the public out on the book tour. But I told him that we enjoy what he does very much. Actually, I met him and I said, Mr. Barry, he shook his hand, looked at me and says, oh, please call me Mr. Barry. Funny guy. Said, I said, I read your column sometimes for the show on a, you know, when we feel like it. And he said, I don't care. I hope he doesn't because we're going to do it again. Dave Barry, looking back at 2002, he points out this was a year of people being wary. We were wary partly because, well, some bad things kept happening, but we were also wary because government officials kept issuing alarming yet vague warnings. According to Dave Barry, quote, we have received reliable information, an official would say, that something bad might happen. We don't know what or when or where, but it's very, very bad. So we urge all citizens to continue leading normal lives while remaining in a state of stark terror. Tune in tomorrow and we'll see if we can't ratchet this thing up a notch or two. I'm just going to excerpt some of the best moments from this. Barry points out we became even warier when we found out that some large corporations had essentially the same business ethics as Bonnie and Clyde. But Barry noted as he wrote the column that one wary day at a time, we got through 2002. And now, he wrote, we are poised to enter a new year, which according to Wall Street analysts will be 2003. January begins on a hopeful note in Europe as the nations of the European Union replace their individual currencies with the new euro, which is expected to boost the European economy by tricking clueless American tourists into leaving unintentionally gigantic tips. But the economic news is not so good in the United States, where President George W. Bush and the Congress discover that the federal budget surplus, which only moments earlier had been trillions of dollars, is now missing. The big domestic issue is homeland insecurity, which is most notable at airports. The Department of Transportation, having determined that every single September 11th hijacker was a young male from a Middle Eastern country, has implemented a shrewd policy of hassling randomly selected elderly women. I personally wonder if we aren't taking our sensitivity toward racial profiling a bit far when it comes to some of this stuff. I flew to Mexico a few months back, and they claim things are much looser now than they were at the height of the madness. I was not reassured by observing the fact that the stewardess on my flight behind me was getting quite a rough go from the screeners before she boarded the aircraft. I hope this was not necessary, that we don't have to worry about the actual air hostess blowing off a shoe bomb. All right, going ahead to March. Investigators probing the Enron scandal finally tracked down the accounting firm of Arthur Andersen, which had sought to evade prosecution by changing its name to Arthur Smith and disguising its corporate headquarters with a gigantic red wig and sunglasses. On a sad note, two beloved public figures passed away that month, Milton Mr. Television Burrell, who was 97, and Britain's Queen Mother Elizabeth, who was 247. Actually, the Queen Mum was 101. According to Dave Barry, they are laid to rest in identical dresses, which I think only the older people in the audience are going to remember that Milton Burrell was very fond of dressing in drag for cheap laughs. In April of last year, on the domestic terrorism front, it was noted that the U.S. Immigration and Naturalization Service, one of our favorites on this program, tightened up its procedures. It quietly reversed its decision to grant a student visa to Osama bin Laden. I couldn't believe that when two of the actual hijackers involved with September 11th were 6 months later granted student visas. I think the INS had a bit of egg on their face, and well, they should. May, big news, the release of the fifth installment in the Star Wars series, Star Wars 2, which continues to express creator-director George Lucas's artistic vision, summed up by the statement, "I don't understand Roman numerals." Okay, let's see. In July of last year, Dave Barry is nice enough to remind us, a month of bad news ended on an upbeat note when rescuers break through to a collapsed Pennsylvania mine shaft and free nine miners who had been trapped 240 feet underground for more than 3 days. Also rescued are 157 lawyers who have burrowed down there to offer their services in the filing of lawsuits. September, Dave Barry noted that Florida, having learned nothing from history, was planning to hold another election. Virtually everything went smoothly with no problems reported until the polls opened. Election officials began to suspect the new computerized voting machines might have been programmed incorrectly when instead of reporting the vote totals, the machines connected to the internet and started sending out 126 million emails offering discount Viagra. And Mr. Barry, who's evidently quite a baseball fan, noted in October of this last year, in the feel-good sports story of the year, the plucky and spunky Anaheim Angels, in what almost seemed like a scripted outcome, defeated the San Francisco Barry Bonds in a nail-biter of a World Series that captivates millions of viewers, including several dozen living outside of California. November election news, the Republicans win big in the midterm elections, giving President Bush a clear mandate to push forward with his foreign and domestic agendas as soon as he thinks up a domestic agenda. And closing out the year 2002, in this last December, hopes for peace soared, says Dave Barry. When Saddam Hussein, as ordered by the UN, finally turns over a list of materials that could be used to make weapons of mass destruction. These hopes are dashed when UN inspectors begin translating the list from the Arabic and find that the first item is a partridge in a pear tree. In a surprise political development, Al Gore, having apparently received a status report from Planet Earth, announces that he will not run for president in 2004. Within hours, the Democratic Party leadership reacts to this devastating news and runs out of champagne. And finally, Dave Barry, looking forward to the annual traditional New Year's Eve celebration, noted that friends, as they usually do, will gather together with friends to drink champagne, to blow into cardboard horns, to sing Auld Lang Syne, and to reflect on the year gone past. And above all else, realize a little too late that those cardboard horns are manufactured abroad and would make a perfect vehicle for spreading chemical or biological warfare agents. All right, let's close out the program with our Hollywood agent joining us now on the phone from Los Angeles, California, David Rosenblum, to tell us about an interesting new project he's involved with. David, what is this documentary that you're working on?
Well, you know, we have a documentary that we are currently pitching to the History Channel, which I really think is going to sell very quickly. It's going to talk about a recently unearthed book of the Bible that's never been found. You know,
really?
just discovered. It's of the magnitude of a Dead Sea Scrolls kind of thing. I mean,
wow.
Big.
I hadn't heard about this.
Yeah, it's called...
That is exciting.
Know, it's called The Book of Shlomo.
Book of Shlomo.
Yes, that's what I said. And, you know, it's very exciting because this is the book that pieces together kind of the Old and New Testament. You know, it's never been found before.
Well, my understanding, David, is there's a gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament, about 150 years.
Well, there was a gap until now, and that's what this documentary is about. It's
really?
It's really exciting. Yeah,
well,
that's
that
why
is
I'm so
exciting.
Excited about it. I mean, I know I always sound excited, but now I'm really excited.
Wow.
But,
tell us about it, by all means.
Well, you know, there's so much in it. I mean, the first part
is... But by the way, is Shlomo a prophet?
Well... See, Shlomo, we're going to set this up in the beginning of the documentary. He was a prophet, a scribe, and a party crasher, if our sources are correct.
Well, there must be some really interesting, groundbreaking stuff in that gap, in that historical gap.
Well, you know, one of the things that he, you know, talks about is a kind of a pre-Messiah, you know, a guy that came along.
Well, see, I'm no Bible scholar, but I did some reading, and I understand that in the first century B.C., there was quite a bit of that, a lot of
there was kind
people,
of a fervor going on,
yeah,
a messianic...
Mm-hmm. So he talks about that a bit.
Yeah, he does, you know, I mean, it was translated from Hebrew. I don't know the exact, you know, translation, but essentially, you know, this guy... His name means the false alarm. Basically, his Hebrew name was Larry, but you know, but in English we would say false alarm.
False alarm.
Well, they thought he was the Messiah. He looked the part. You know, he was tall, had long hair, the beard.
Uh-huh.
He smelled bad. Everything.
What went wrong?
Well, he failed every test, every messianic test that they would put him to. He failed miserably. Well, one young lady, you know, brought him some water. And he turned it into worse water. It was like, it was really sad.
Oh,
you know, it didn't work at all. That's all documented in the book.
Healing the sick?
He made them sicker, Doug. It's really, you know, I don't even want to, I mean, the documentary, we'll talk about it, but I mean, he couldn't walk on water. In fact,
they put him to the test?
He could hardly even walk on the beach, but I mean, well, they brought him to the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah.
And he almost drowned. You know, I didn't want to go into it. It was kind of sad. But
wow,
that's the sad part of the movie, but there's some happier moments too. You know, I mean, another interesting thing, the book of Shlomo documents this.
You said movie, by the way. You mean.
Well, it's going to be a movie that will show for maybe a week, and then it'll be on the History Channel. You know, we're not sure how we're going to work out the details. But the other thing that he talks about, also a great seer of that time, you know, someone who was able to predict things far into the future.
People are interested in that Bible prophecy sort
people
of thing.
People love that stuff. You know,
is there some new prophecy to come out of this?
Well, let's just talk about some of his predictions. I mean, one of the things, he predicted there would be two world wars, and he said that the first one would be called World War One. The second one would be called World War Two.
Well, that is on the money.
Dead on
you
that.
Can't argue with that.
I mean, he just, you know, absolutely. I mean, it came to pass.
What else?
Well, he predicted. He talked about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. He had this vision. It's very interesting.
Oh, like in the book of Revelations,
well,
in the New
Testament.
Well,
very similar, but one slight difference. They weren't horsemen. In this one, they all rode burros.
Oh.
It's a little, I mean, this is his vision. I don't know. We'll see who comes true.
So,
you know?
Not four horsemen, four burro riders.
Exactly. Kind of a friendlier apocalypse. Not quite as, you know, as
not as
dangerous.
Threatening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but the real meat of the book really talks about the bridging of the Old and New Testament, the life of Jesus, the early life, you know.
I mean, actually, Jesus does figure into the narrative.
Well, he does. You know, I mean, you've heard of the bridge of the 21st century. This book is like and movie is like the bridge to the first century, okay? You know, it talks about Jesus' early life, you know, before he became a Messiah and leader. You know, a lot of details people don't know about, like about
well,
the way he
by
looks.
All means, share some of those.
Well, you know, I know his main thing is about the message, not his looks, but Shlomo talks about the way he actually looked. He
see, David, that's I'm intrigued because we have no references at all to the actual physical appearance of Jesus
Christ.
We
all know how he looked like when he, you know, was in early 30s, but like when he was in early 20s, completely different. He had a handlebar mustache, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
No beard.
Uh-huh.
And he had mutton chop sideburns. Very interesting. They go
that
into this in detail. Several places in the book.
Well, you're painting a picture of Jesus very similar to that of Raleigh Fingers.
Well, you know, far be it from me to
Oakland A's reliever, I guess.
I was going to say, I don't want to compare Jesus to, you know, a famous baseball player with a great, you know, knuckleball. But I mean, if, you know, I guess, yeah, it is kind of looks like him, you know. The thing is, see, later on, you know, all the drawings of Jesus came in the later days when he got into that phase with long hair and the beard. It was kind of a hippie period at the time, you know, in the old, you know, the biblical area there. But the drawings only show that.
This is all very well researched, you're telling.
Very, very, very well
meticulously
documented and researched.
We always appreciate your rigid scholarship that you bring to the program.
Well, we had grad students working for at least like a week and a half on this. You know, they were working on other projects, but they spent about 2 weeks on this.
You know, are you really sure about your sources on some of this material?
We are pretty darn sure.
Well, David, thanks so much for coming. We'd like to also thank our previous guest, Dr. Tony Held, and look forward to seeing you again next Thursday at 5 o'clock on 90.3 FM KDVS. I'm your host, Douglas Everett. You've been listening to Radio Parallax. We'll see you next week.